Welcome into Scoops with DannyMac.com, and it's Ben Fred Fridays and our chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and KTRS Radio and a contributor to Scoops with DannyMac.com every Friday as we take a look back at the week of sports and the weekend ahead here in St. Louis. This is presented by the National Children's Cancer Society, Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill, Hair Saloon for Men, Ryan Kelly, and Schnucks. We're coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios. If you're looking for that last-minute gift for the sports fan in your life, let me tell you something very special to battle childhood cancer. There's still some tickets available for this. It's the 7th annual Evening with the Cardinals this year. The featured guest will be Cardinals Hall of Famers Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. In the past 6 years, this event has raised over $1.3 million for families battling childhood cancer. Special feature added to this year's event, and it's a special VIP conversation with the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. An Evening with the Cardinals will take place on January 26th at St. Louis Union Station Hotel, Grand Ballroom, private photo session, silent auction, dinner, cocktails, the Q&A with Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. To be a sponsor or to get your tickets, head to thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org. The NCCS, National Children's Cancer Society, it's based right here in St. Louis. They have done remarkable work. They have raised millions of dollars to help families and children battle childhood cancer. Again, get those tickets, thenccs.org. Coming up, we visit with Ben Fredrickson. So much to get into, in particular, the apparent connection with Andrew Miller and the Cardinals bringing him into the fold. Also, the Blues, we'll talk about that. The Mizzou-Illinois game coming up tomorrow at Enterprise Center. A reminder, Blues action this season. See it at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. There are 11 area locations. You can score a hat trick of savings. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game, including their Bud Family beer specials, Jack Daniel cocktails, the Blue Sampler for $5.99, and that is at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. Just went into my favorite place to get my haircut. That's Hair Saloon for Men. Take my boys there. I go there. You can get a haircut for $22. $22. You get the haircut, complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, and a complimentary shoe shine, and that's all at Hair Saloon for Men. Coming up, we'll visit with Ben Fredrickson. Ben Fred Fridays on Scoops with DannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly with thehomeloanexpert.com. There's never been a better time to look at a refinance. Maybe it's time to get rid of the PMI or get some cash out to pay off the credit cards. 5 minutes could save you $500 a month. Thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Coming to you from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios on a Friday, it's Ben Fred Fridays, and always our chance to visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and KTRS Radio, and Ben always with us on Friday mornings. Ben, happy holidays to you and yours. Merry Christmas, and looks like the Cardinals get an early Christmas present, at least for the fans, in Andrew Miller. Pretty good pickup, I think.
Yeah, man, a guy who was right at the top of the shelf on the free agent left-handed option. It was him and Zach Britton. And he kind of felt like the Cardinals were going to get one of these guys. They've been looking at him for a while. They were talking to their agents at winter meetings. They were playing pretty close on which one they liked better. I think some of that probably had to do with which one they felt like was more available in terms of what they're willing to offer. And both had some reasons for interest and concern. You're talking about guys who are on the wrong side of 30, who had years last year that weren't necessarily great. But there are reasons to think that Andrew Miller might bounce back. There are also reasons to say that even if he doesn't, he's still a pretty good addition to a bullpen that was in bad, bad need of some sort of left-handed out-getter, preferably a guy who could strike somebody out. So he's on board, and I think the Cardinals' bullpen is better because of it.
What do you think you do now from that left side of the bullpen with the numbers that they have with Miller, Shreve, maybe Cabrera, who's had a very good offseason? They picked him up in a trade. Obviously they've got others coming back. How do you think that shakes out looking forward to 2019?
Yeah, I think as long as you get Miller checked off with the physical and get the T's crossed and the I's dotted on that deal, he's your given on the left side of the bullpen. And then you go down to spring training and you say, look, let's see guys kind of sort this out. I think they're going to give Brett Cecil a shot. I don't feel like they have to save a spot for him in the bullpen. I think the the goodwill there to some degree has ran out. I think they want to see him perform. And then you also have Chasen Shreve, they brought back for the year. Now, there were parts of his numbers that looked appealing last year. He gives up too many home runs. Can he get that under control? The reason being, they've got a couple guys in Webb who pitched well at times last season, and Cabrera, who could carve out spots in the left-handed side of this bullpen. So I think adding Miller gives them a chance for some more real competition come spring training, and they can kind of try to go with whoever's performing. Miller is interesting because when you compare him to Britton, he did not have the ideal back of the baseball card numbers last year. But when you look at the things that teams actually look at, this isn't a shock to you, Dan, but it might surprise some. They don't care about a reliever's ERA. They want to know strikeout rate, walk rate. They want to know velocity, these things. Miller checked out in some degrees better than Britton did. His strikeout rate was up. It's still high. Now he's got a little bit of the decline on the fastball, but he was injured. He had shoulder problems. He had knee problems. They feel like if they get him healthy and his teams insist that he's healthy, that he can bounce back to be the guy that was not that long ago one of the most dominant relievers in baseball, period, let alone left-handed, and also a guy they can use anywhere. And I think that's a big thing here. He's going to set the tone for this bullpen, because if one of your best guys in the bullpen is a guy who's okay pitching no matter the inning, no matter the number of innings, I think that's a really good thing for this bullpen that's going to be heavy on youth and want to try to stress its flexibility to have leading the way. I think that matters for this team.
Yeah, and as you pointed out in the Post-Dispatch, and I looked at the numbers too, and I agree with you, ERA is something we always talk about on the telecast, so I didn't take that shot, Ben, too badly from you. I'm okay.
No. Hey, man, you're getting into the advanced analytics, okay? You're scooping. I hear you mentioning those K rates and walk rates.
Oh.
And all those fancy analytics you like to get into during the broadcast
for
the nerds.
I'm a baseball nerd. I sprinkle it in here and there. Now, the thing that would concern me was drop in velocity. Now, is that due in part because, you know, the guy's getting into his middle 30s or because he was on the DL three times? So you would have to think that analytics and as they check him out physically would tell you it probably is a little bit of both, but they're comfortable in what they know about him, and that's what they're going to do moving forward.
Yep, they had Andrew Miller checked out. The Cardinals didn't, but the Mets had ran him over, you know, with a fine tooth comb, and there was, you know, comments from his agents about the tests he went through for the Mets, and they all checked out. And you know, look, we can't sit here today and say Andrew Miller is going to be good or bad in 2019. The Cardinals can't say that. You look at some of the moves these teams have made with relievers. There have been guys like Bud Norris who was signed, and everybody thought, man, this is a waste of time. That seemed to be the general impression when that happened. There were some numbers that he had that the Cardinals felt good about, and look what happened. He became one of the most reliable and cost-efficient, you know, late-inning relievers around in baseball last year. And then you have a guy like Greg Holland, who everybody thought was a slam dunk, and, you know, can't figure it out because he doesn't have spring training. So teams are taking calculated guesses here. And, you know, they have more information than we do. They have more information about the guy's health. They have more information about, you know, their projections and how they see a guy playing in the future. So, you know, when the Cardinals do come out and talk about Andrew Miller, it's going to be interesting to hear what they saw that gave them confidence about his ability to give him a multi-year deal. Now, the past is there, man, and the numbers are impressive. This is a guy who received Cy Young consideration as a reliever. This is a guy who defined his role. I mean, there are guys who pitch now who are considered, you know, Andrew Miller-type pitchers in terms of their ability to come in and throw a wet blanket on any sort of rally in a baseball game. He kind of brought this role back to life. I mean, he's a piece of baseball history. You know, 6'7", walking and talking. So that says a lot about what he's done, but it's more about what he can do. And I think the big thing is health, because if his legs are right, if his knee's okay, if his shoulder's all right, then I think that some of that velocity might get back. But you're talking about a guy who's 33, who's had a long career here. He might have to rely on some of his other stuff as opposed to just his speed. But his strikeouts are still impressive. I mean, for him, they're down. For anybody else, they're still very, very good. Compare him to what this team did last season, especially from the left-handed side. They're great. Cardinals didn't have one guy that started the season and ended the season on their team who had was in the top 65, I think, in strikeouts by a left-hander. Shreve was in there, but he didn't have very many strikeouts with the Cardinals. Most of them came in New York. And then Brett Cecil was so far down the list, you can't find him. I mean, they were sorely lacking left-handed strikeout power in relief last year. And I think at the very least, he can add that. Worst case scenario, he turns into a matchup guy. But I think they expect more from him, and I think they'll get more from him.
With hundreds of wines and craft beers to taste and culinary delights around every corner, you're not going to want to miss the 17th annual Food and Wine presented by Schnucks. January 25th, 26th, and 27th at Union Station. St. Louis Food and Wine presented by Schnucks. Be a part of the largest food and wine show in the Midwest. Schnucks Certified Wine Specialist and Cicerones will be there. Tickets available at stlfoodandwine.com. Thanks to Schnucks.
If you would have said to me and maybe you and media fans, hey, you're going to have Paul Goldschmidt next year and Andrew Miller. It's going to cost you some money, but in terms of prospects, it's going to cost you a minor leaguer, Carson Kelly, and Luke Weaver. I would have said, where do I sign right now? So it's been a pretty good offseason thus far for the Cardinals, addressing two major needs that they had.
Well, and also, too, put it in perspective, the Cardinals fans in the past couple seasons have gotten so frustrated, and rightfully so, I think, at times, by watching the moves made by, say, the Cubs, with the big splash moves. Well, compare the Cardinals' moves made this offseason to the moves going on in the division. I think it's pretty hard, looking at it from a neutral perspective, to not say the Cardinals have been not only most active but most successful in adding, season-type altering players to its team. I don't know that anybody's going to throw a parade about Drew Robinson, but I know the Cardinals are a lot higher on him than the fan base is. Mike Schilt is raving about this guy's speed, his ability to play in different areas of the field. No one needs to sing an endorsement of Paul Goldschmidt. He's one of the best hitters in baseball. Could be the best hitter in the National League every time he starts a season. And then you're adding a guy who was right at the top of the list in terms of relievers. I mean, they're not making incremental moves here. They're making moves to get better. And that's something that Michael Gersh said a lot this offseason, is we're not just looking to add bodies. We're trying to, improve positions. And they've done that at first base clearly. And they've done that in a bullpen no matter how Andrew Miller pitches next season. I say this somewhat jokingly, but it's true. He had his career worst season last year. And if he repeated that in the Cardinals bullpen, he would be their best left-handed reliever. I think he'll probably, be eyeing a bounce back, and with better health, he should have better results. But even if he had that year that he had in 2018, Cardinals will gladly have that over what they had last season.
Let's switch gears. I'm excited about the Bragging Rights game. It's always at a fun time of year, Christmas time, packed house, people kind of in a festive mood. How do you size up Mizzou, Illinois tomorrow?
I think it should be a competitive game. I know that it might not be the game that gets the national love, but I'm telling you, with the way that Missouri played against Xavier in that win, after about a week and a half break, it looked like a different team. The Tigers looked prepared. Jeremiah Tillman looked focused. Their defense was airtight, and they had their offense moving through Tillman. So if that team shows up, then that's going to be that's going to be a team that's tough to beat. But Illinois has probably the right elixir for Mizzou. They press. They want to speed you up. They want to create turnovers. They are better, I think, than their record says. They've played some very tough teams early on in the season. They've already played two conference games. They already played Xavier. They did lose to Xavier. Mizzou beat Xavier. So if you're looking for a comparable game, there's that one. But you really kind of throw that stuff out when this game happens. Illinois in the past has shown up more ready for this game. Brad Underwood last year got his guys so psyched up for this game. They played like it was the national championship, and they just took the game away. Mizzou looked a little slow, a little sleepy. They kind of tried to play the game where they're going to treat it like every other game. And Illinois took advantage of that. They were jacked up. They're ready for it. I think they will be again this year. The crowd might not be packed, but it's going to be electric, part because you have at least, you have these guys at Mizzou's roster who should be playing at Illinois in the eyes of Illinois fans. You have Jeremiah Tillman, who signed there. You have Mark Smith, who actually played at Illinois last year, who's playing for Mizzou this year, starting as an immediate transfer with a waiver, who got a chance to play right away. You also have another starter for Mizzou, the freshman from Illinois, Javon Pickett, who could have been at Illinois. I mean, you have some real, real rivalry here. And I said this yesterday, and people think I'm crazy, but hear me out. You know, Mizzou fans have always wondered, what will be the next Kansas? Could there be anything that comes close to that rivalry? Well, you know, one of the things about the Kansas-Mizzou basketball side of the rivalry was that it was fun and all, but it was never like Mizzou and Kansas were recruiting against each other. And there weren't very many guys, maybe other than the Rush brothers, who were debating between going to Mizzou and Kansas. The cool thing about this Illinois-Mizzou rivalry with Underwood and Konzo Martin is these guys are going to be going after it for St. Louis area recruits. And I think that adds another level of kind of passion to this game. When you see a guy playing for the other team that you wanted to have on your team and vice versa, I think it makes things a little more real for the fans.
We always have a lot of Mizzou fans tune into this on Friday, you know, curious about what you think. And right now, I'll tell you what, Barry Odom is coming up roses on a lot of different things. The quarterback that transfers from TCU, he gets the quarterback that transfers from Clemson that is, obviously going to play next year. The recruiting here locally, check that box. Lot of things going, Ben, in his direction. It's been fun to watch.
And he can't lose right now. I don't think he wants the calendar to change over to 2019. He's on a heater. But credit to him and really this recruiting class, we beat Barry up. I beat Barry up not that long ago for some misses here in the St. Louis area, and he's never going to get every player. It's impossible to get every player, but they punched back here in this most recent signing class. They were able to get some of the guys that had been leaking out of the St. Louis area to go to different schools, and they're starting to corner that market again. And it starts with a guy like Jack Buford, the big offensive lineman from St. Louis, who not only said, I'm going to go to Mizzou, but I'm going to get my buddies to come. And I'm going to work basically as a recruiter for Mizzou after I commit. And he did it from day one. And I think that made a difference. Clearly winning helps. But, there were two big questions with this recruiting class when you looked at it on paper headed in. One was if they were going to be able to kind of solve their problems at quarterback. For the first time in a very long time, we did not know who the next Mizzou quarterback was going to be. You had the long lineage that went down from Brad Smith to Drew Locke, and then you wondered who's next. We didn't know. Well, now they know. They got Kelly Bryant in for 1 year, who, you know, that's starting to look like it might be, you know, a 10-win season next season with him being in the fold and what they have coming back. You also had the quarterback transfer from TCU. You signed a really talented freshman and Connor Bazilak out of Ohio that you can, you know, throw in to compete as a backup and kind of have him be on the radar as soon as Kelly Bryant's out of the picture. And then you got back on the map recruiting here locally in St. Louis. This place sends up too much football talent to not be in the mix here. And now the Tigers are back in the mix. Jelani Williams, they've got some good players out of this area. And I think it's going to continue to open up pipelines as this team continues to win.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
It's happened. It's now open. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri. The first standalone ground-up Jeep store in the country. Largest Jeep inventory in St. Louis. If you want a Jeep, Lou Fuse Jeep is the place to go. 22 service bays, accessories, apparel, state-of-the-art facility. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
Blues lose last night. Hard to figure out what's going on with this team in terms of, you know, they have a great start to the road trip, and then last night, good first period, then they fall apart the next two periods, and they lose to Vancouver. They'll wrap up before the Christmas break in Calgary over the weekend. I'm not sure what they do with this team, Ben. I'm just not sure. I think right now it's one of the true crossroads for Doug Armstrong, because a lot of games in hand against the teams that you're chasing. You're not completely out of a playoff picture, and yet you see at times you can win. there's talent on the ice. But yet, if you blow it up, you're probably not going to go to the playoffs. Yet, if you stick with this team, you may not go to the playoffs either, but you might, and that's the hope that you keep. It's really kind of a tough situation, I think, right now for the Blues. At least that's the way I view it.
Yeah. Oh, man, no tougher job in St. Louis right now than Doug Armstrong. So he's put himself on a bit of a jam, because when you fire the coach and you come out and put the kind of the bulk of it on the core, you know, the veterans on your team, and they don't necessarily respond, and you're talking about having to, you know, shake things up in drastic ways if this doesn't work, and then it doesn't work. This is twice now where he's basically said our best players aren't playing good enough. We have to, you know, get that kind of performance out of these guys and that buy-in, or else we're going to look to make some painful changes. And when you say it twice, then at some point you got to do it. So I think, you know, when you hear these trade scenarios about the Blues maybe even being open to move a Vladimir Tarasenko or an Alex Pietrangelo, I don't think they're crazy. I think Armstrong has to consider every single option. I think when you get to the point in the season where teams are starting to try to decide, are we in, are we out, that's about this time. The Blues are going to need to be candid with themselves, but if they think they have the group that can get them where they want to go. You know, Armstrong has diagnosed a problem here pretty publicly. And if you do that as the GM and then don't try to fix it, then you have to ask the question, you have to answer the question as to who's the problem. And, you know, if it's not the coach and you've said it's the players on the team who are locked in, but you don't find a way to you know, press reset there, then what are you doing as the GM? You know, these are some tough questions for the Blues. And you don't like to see, you know, longtime players traded, but they've got something off in this team, and it's become a culture where they come out and say the right things, and, you know, they seem like they mean it, but then you watch them play and it's not there. You know, the team that can consistently talk about its effort being off repeatedly, a team that is consistently called fragile or, you know, even soft at times by the coaching staff, which is, you know, should be a huge insult to the players. To have that phrase thrown around by interim coach Craig Berube, I mean, it's startling to hear it, yet it's become the norm. How do they find a way to get a tougher, more competitive identity without changing someone in the nucleus, maybe multiple players in the nucleus? I don't know that you can do it. Changing a culture is not an easy thing to do, and if you take half measures, then it usually turns out worse than when you started. So I think they got to buckle up and make some big boy decisions here. I think the good thing is the fan base is probably on board. I think the fans are tired of watching some of this. I think the fans are tired of spending their money on some of this. You know, Armstrong said it best when he had the press conference for firing Mike Yeo. He said, look, we're a blue-collar town. Our fans are blue-collar fans. They want to show up every night and see us put in a full game of work. If we don't win, they'll support us, but they want to see that effort. They want to see that grit. They want to see that determination. And there are some Blues fans who've been in games at the Enterprise Center this season who haven't left away feeling they saw that.
Couldn't agree more. Hey, have a great Christmas. We'll hook up next Friday. We'll talk a little bit about Mizzou and Oklahoma State and the bowl game, and also maybe your top stories of the year. We'll do a year-end review and awesome. Look ahead as well. But it'll be fun, and Merry Christmas to you and your new bride. And have a great one, Ben. It should be a fun Christmas for you, I'm sure.
I'll try to write some good stories in before the new year, so we can have something to talk about. I appreciate it, man. It's been fun for me to add this to the conversations that we have. We can't always talk about what we usually talk about on these, but I feel like they give folks a good sampling of what we actually do talk about when we chat. I appreciate you letting me be a part of the team.
It's awesome, man. Thanks so much. Merry Christmas.
You bet. You too.